Welcome to the Movie Blogs Podcast, The Correct Opinion, hosted today by me, your host, Jim, and joining me on the show are...
The amazing, Anthony. Superior Anthony. You gotta say it right, man, like a wrestler.
That's right. And... Almost. You got to wait. And, for the first time...
Finally!
It took weeks and months. We finally have... Kenny
Baldwin. I mean, Kenny Miles.
Yep. Kenny Miles here.
Kenny, no Ryan today.
For finally joining us. Dude, I've been so excited about having you on the show. I think we've been doing a running gag where we shout you out like every episode.
We have.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks. Okay. Kenny. What's going on, man? How are things over in Denver? You sound a little quiet today.
Oh, no, I'm just fine. Things are going well in Denver. It's cold. It was warm the last few weeks, actually, in the 50s or 60s, so it's been cold this week. So I've been a little grumpy about that, I guess, because we get spoiled with pretty good weather and stuff, and with the holidays happening at the end of the year and all that, it's kind of been like a lot going on, I guess, per se.
I'm insanely jealous of you in general, just because you live in Denver, you have a great football team, and they've legalized
true.
It. So I'm insanely jealous. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Hey, do you want the Cutler back? We can send him to you.
No. And I'm a big Green Bay Packer fan, so I'm glad.
Come on.
You guys got crushed by the Bills. Don't talk to me.
I know, that's a good point, I know. Yikes.
Well, moving on from that, let's talk about movies. There's a lot of stuff going on with Sony still. Still a lot of news with Sony. I can't escape it. This week, the interview, it's over. It's canceled. You're fired. It's like, I don't know.
Just like that.
Well, it's not really going to be in theaters next week. I mean, there's definitely some big rumors going on online if it's going to be on VOD soon, which would be really interesting. This could actually be a turning point, actually, in that platform.
Be a great barometer.
It could go.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, it could be very, very unexpected. It depends how kind of Sony can kind of spin it. I could tell you, as someone who worked in a movie theater, especially one here in Denver on the day of the Aurora shooting, that any sort of threat should be really taken seriously. I'm really kind of torn with what kind of happened, because I do support kind of freedom of speech and film and people seeing movies and stuff. But at the same time, I've been thinking all day today, the day I worked in the box office on, I think it was July 20th, 2012, when The Dark Horizon was showing in my theater, just how people were so upset, and even really bad jokes from like even older adults, and just everything. There was so much that happened, and everyone called me like my dad thought, you know, all this stuff. So as much as people can kind of tweet about, you know, kind of shaming Sony, and I am kind of upset about it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I do understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, like, being someone who works at a movie theater kind of has a whole nother perspective on that.
No, I think that's a good point. We remember what happened with the whole Batman shooting incident, which was really, really nasty and bad. And you know what? Like, at the beginning, it seemed like Sony took this as a joke, and, you know, there was links, oh, could it be, you know, North Korea or not? You know, but now you can tell, there's no question, they are finally seriously taking this as a precaution, and that they probably know, I think they know more than us, but they must know that this is the source or where it's coming from. And yeah, can you imagine if a movie started some kind of war or something between nations? I mean, that would be crazy, but I think it's the right move. You don't want one movie to really do something like that, even though we shouldn't fear, you know, hackers or any people like that. But for a movie to potentially cause a lot more damage, and we're not talking just for Sony, for this country potentially, I think it's the move they have to do.
I think the whole concept of the movie is flat out insane.
It is.
The fact that Seth Rogen and James Franco even somehow agreed to make a film about assassinating a world leader is insane, especially one that we're not on good relations with.
Right.
Just imagine for a moment that Russia or Iraq or another company that we're tense with made a film about assassinating our president or one of our elected officials. If you put the shoe on the other foot, it's not so funny anymore.
I think there was...
No, it's scary now. And I...
Kenny?
Sorry. Ed.
Yeah.
I think I was Kenny speaks that... parcel tongue.
Yeah.
Sorry. There was a movie released in 2006 called Death of a President. Mm-hmm. I think it was a French film, but it was definitely about the assassination of George W. Bush when he was president.
Mm.
And that had really upset a lot of people. It was just some really obscure film. It was kind of trashy, but there was a lot about it. I don't really remember because, I mean, I saw it 8 years ago. I wasn't really impressed with it, but that happened. But at the same time, like, it's kind of different because Sony's a big studio. Like, they have the multi-million dollar company. Like, we're talking about some obscure, like, indie film that played at a few, like, film festivals in 06. It's kind of different as well. But to me, I can't help but think, like, I mean, Team America, like, I feel like we can't have a sequel to that anytime soon. You know, that would really upset people if that makes sense. Because that's, like, the world we're living in. And I could kind of think that may have to do with how we're connected to the internet now, just because of just things can go viral, more people know about more information quickly. Because if you remember 10 years ago when that movie came out, like, a lot of people had dial-up internet and weren't really connected. Right. There was barely any social media, so that's something that they wouldn't know about, as opposed to, like, now, I guess, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, now that we're more interconnected, and, you know, the whole promotion of the whole thing, we'll catch more attention. You know, it's going to be – it's not like you can only see a trailer in theaters anymore. Now we can all go online. We can get exposed to all sorts of things. And the messages that people are putting out there is just going to be much more exposed. The fact that this Japanese company even made a film starring Americans about assassinating a Korean world leader is just – it's still just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah,
it's just insane.
It doesn't sit right.
So, I mean, when I first heard the movie was announced at first, I'm like, it's not like something we've done before, you know? I wondered how things would play out from here. I saw drama written all over it. But, you know, it's not completely unexpected. It's just not.
No. And you know what? The thing is, like, if they have the power to hack into Sony within a day of, like, this movie being announced, you know, like, the marketing campaign started for it, and when the threats came out, there's a lot more that could possibly happen.
They
so
should have asked Dennis Rodman to calm him down. They should have had Dennis Rodman fly to North Korea with the movie, screen it for him, let him know it was just a joke, and then, you know, let us have our film. But they didn't do that.
No, I mean, I think it's best off. I think Kenny's onto something with his VOD. This is their way, possibly, of having a potential big blockbuster film that was supposed to be released go straight to VOD instead of being like an independent small film. I think they might be onto something. I think people might really check it out and get a hold of VOD.
Maybe, you know, maybe it'll have that cult following. I mean, these are big stars in the comedic world right now. And, you know, them having a major release going straight to video on demand, that's going to be probably the biggest video on demand released in recent memory.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from that, Sony's having a lot more news. I mean, when can we stop finding, when can we stop talking about Sony? Now we're hearing
never.
Andrew Garfield might not be in Spider-Man if the Marvel deal works out. What's up with that?
Well, it's not only the Marvel deal. The Marvel's confirmed it. I mean, pretty much, if they would acquire the rights to Spider-Man character, they'd want nothing to do with Andrew Garfield. They just want to recast the part and make it their own. So if Marvel gains the rights, which is still possible, actually, they're still negotiating, apparently, behind the scenes. That is not a scrapped idea by any means. Definitely he's not going to be part of the Marvel franchise. But also, he's most likely not going to be part of the Sony franchise because apparently there's a lot of bad blood because during the Comic-Con, Andrew Garfield basically blew off the head executives of the Japanese executives of Sony. He did not show up for a meeting that they basically had with him to promote the movie, and he was like the main guy they wanted to meet, and he just skipped out on him with no reasoning for it. He just basically ditched them and didn't show up, and they were really upset, and they're still holding a grudge for it.
That's bad.
That's awful.
That's not good.
Let's try to look at it positively. Me, when I hear news like this, as one door closes, another door opens, if they were to recast, who should get the job?
That's a tough one. I think he's a really good guy for this role. You obviously can't go back to Tobey Maguire. He's too old, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
Garfield kind of made it his own. He really, really kind of fit in well as the Spider-Man. It just, the scripts weren't good and or anything, but as the Spider-Man himself, I think he was the bright spot in this franchise by Mark Webb. You gotta go someone that's his age, you know? You gotta go for someone. I don't know why I thought of Zac Efron, but he's too pretty for that. I'm not sure, but you gotta go with a young guy, probably in his mid to late 20s. You can't go really anyone that's in their 30s.
Also, keep in mind. Oh,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, from a budgeting standpoint, you want it to be someone really more low profile too. Like, oh, right. I mean, something obscure, like
affordable.
The first person, someone that came to my mind was the oldest son in Alexander, Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Not because I thought he'd be good Spider-Man, but because he could potentially be like a decent actor, and mm-hmm. he's not. Well known. Like, those are the things I was thinking of. And he would also be cheap as well.
Are we ready for a black Spider-Man?
I don't know. I mean, they're doing, I guess it honestly depends how people will take to the Fantastic Four, you know. I mean, obviously they went completely different with that, you know, right. In the Fantastic Four upcoming. Michael B. Jordan, right?
Yeah.
He's doing the torch. So, I think depends. I think he's going to get a good reviews for it. I think it's an interesting casting. It depends how that kind of the momentum, how the fan base goes about it, you know? But Spider-Man, we have to also mention, is like a critically, you know, huge character in the superhero universe too. So I don't know how people would take to a change. It would have to be probably a completely different storyline, maybe, too.
What do you think, Kenny?
I mean, it depends. I think it would need the right, like, director and creative process as well. Like, I mean, also, not only that, though, you may need to have the right actor. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the most important thing, obviously, because I don't mind, like, diversity at all, but, like, to find that the right person with the right director would be absolutely incredible, I think.
Well, the reason I ask is because I know you guys don't read comics. That's really more Ryan and I thing. But Marvel created a Black Spider-Man a few years ago. Everybody heard about it. He was in the news for a little bit. And then things kind of got quiet. But over the past year or two, they've really been pushing the character more than their Peter Parker character. Mm-hmm. They're kind of trying to, like, give him more exposure. They actually, you know, comic books are weird. They have multiple universes. You'll have one character appearing in, like, five universes and variations of him. And in one of them, they killed Peter Parker, and they replaced him with another person. And this kid has a completely different origin story than what we've seen two times in theaters already. His supporting cast is similar but different. So the fact that they're doing this makes me wonder if that has anything to do with their endeavors for the film series.
I don't think so, because, I mean, there's other variations of Spider-Man that probably would be more to the forefront. Like, this is a new story, like you said, in the comics. Mm-hmm. 2099 Spider-Man, you know, that could be a better approach too. You know,
futuristic
that's
futuristic Spider-Man, yeah.
Right. More people are familiar with that than this brand new one. You know, like, comic book purists know about it, but, like, your casual fan, you know, would probably be more familiar of a spin-off of Spider-Man be 2099, you know, right. as the other Spider-Man. And then, you know, you had a Hispanic version of a Spider-Man too, you know, with what's that kid's name? Was Morales, I think, right?
That is the one I'm talking about. Miles Morales. He's half
Miles
black.
Morales. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's half black, half Hispanic. But right, look at you. So, brownie points for pulling out your comic book facts.
Well, I know more than you guys think, okay? So I forgot his first name, Miles, but yeah, that's the guy I was talking about. It's potential, but I think they should, if they're going to go a different route with it, 2099 makes more sense first and then see slowly make this change. I think it would be too drastic too fast.
Well, the way that it happened was in the comics, the Green Goblin emerged. He met Peter Parker at his house and killed him. In the films, they're about to have the Green Goblin emerge. Mm-hmm. This would be a great time to kill him.
I think there's too much to do with the Spider-Man character. I think you still have the Civil War. Depends what Marvel does with him. To kill him off would also be kind of having to acknowledge him for even different studios. You know, I think if Sony kills him off or Marvel, you just can't have one Spider-Man dead in one version of a company and him alive in another. You know, just too confusing, I guess, for mainstream.
It's something that they've been doing for like since 2001 now. Well, they've had multiple titles running concurrently in which they were just two separate universes, and then at one point their spinoff got more popular than their main title. Anyway, I'm focusing too much on the comics. It's a great idea, it's a long debate. I'm so excited to see what they do. If they're willing to scrap this amazing Spider-Man, good riddance. I didn't like it anyway.
Yeah, I think I made some mistakes.
Aside from that, you know, moving on, I want to talk about something else I have had on my mind for the past month or so.
Okay.
I talked about it a little bit with Ryan, and I'm going to say it again now that I have you guys here with me. Interstellar was not a good movie.
Come on, man. You can't do this to me. I was thinking about the top movies of 2014, and I couldn't fit in exactly my number one slot. It was either that or Gone Girl. There is no way. If anyone makes a case for Gravity being a good movie or an Oscar contender, there's no way Interstellar cannot be mentioned, because it is a better film all around than Gravity was. Acting-wise, visually, storyline-wise, just a better movie all around than Gravity. And people gave so much high praise and hope. There's no way this movie isn't a top three movie of this year. I think it's groundbreaking. It's very different. Hey, they even found some scientific things they discovered making this movie, you know, to begin with. There's no way that this isn't a top three movie.
What do you think, Kenny?
I'm in between the three of the two of you, because when I initially saw it, I was really blown away by it. When I saw it again, it not so much. But then when I saw 2001 A Space Odyssey on TV, I think it was on Thanksgiving on the Sci-Fi Channel. Mm-hmm. I was watching it with my brother, and we were talking about just how similar it was to that. There was a lot of similarities to that. And I'll probably put Interstellar on my – honorable mention, which is always a really random grab bag of films between like Obvious Child and Ida and like Noah and stuff like that. It's always kind of like random what I have on there.
Well, Kenny, I read your Facebook feed. I see what you do there. And I first off, I really agree with the Academy Awards. Second off, I often agree with what you put up because you seem to do your own little end of the year movie award thing on your Facebook feed for your followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to beg you to transition that from Facebook to the movie blog. Maybe you can publish that in a post because I want to do our own film of the year post.
Oh, I'll definitely. I have plans next week being off and all that to plan so much for the movie blog. It's not even funny. Just be ready for me.
I'm ready. But I didn't like Interstellar. Well, let me rephrase that. I really was entertained by Interstellar. I enjoyed Interstellar. It was not a good movie. Here's why I say that. Interstellar was about, 2 hours, 40 minutes?
It's right around 3 hours, actually.
Right around 3 hours.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy the movie until about, there was about 45 minutes left in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Once I reached a certain point, sure, it made me look at the preceding parts of the film differently, but it didn't make up for the first 2 hours of the film being unenjoyable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, and I think a lot of people share your sentiment also that, you know, not everyone liked this movie, but this isn't a movie that's going to appeal to everyone just because there's so much. I mean, just you get your casual, regular movie viewer who just tries to go to a movie on a date or something. Mm-hmm. They probably won't even understand this film, you know, and it probably takes a really scientific mind to even fully comprehend this film. It's a complicated film to begin with, but the storyline is needed. I know you're talking about the slow pacing of possibly the first hour.
It took an hour to get to
space. Right.
It took an hour.
You need to establish it because it all connects at the end. That relationship is the key to the movie. And you know what? Now their marketing campaign for the Oscars is going to be based around the relationship of the movie. You know, the characters,
awful.
The actors.
The first hour could have been condensed into 30 minutes. It really could have. I don't think that it should have taken an hour to get to space. I don't think that we needed Michael Caine's character at all. Because honestly, Anne Hathaway could have sufficed and moved the story along in that aspect. The surprise and twists, I enjoy that. That kind of stuff is cool. I like when something catches me off guard. I see things I didn't expect to see, but I don't like when I'm sitting there for an hour and I'm like, when's this going to get good?
Yeah.
I just enjoyed the ride. You know, I went to the approach with it. Just
now, don't get me wrong. I really thought it was an entertaining film. I really hold it in a pretty high regard in that aspect because it made me think. It made me start remembering Einstein's theory of relativity. It started making me formulate transforming things from a 2D to a 3D to a 4D space as an artist. That kind of stuff I really thought was mind-blowing, but I don't think that makes it a good movie.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's fair. I mean, it's definitely a pretty divisive film, and I mean, it was slow. Did you have any issues with the sound at all? Did that really bother you?
I thought the score was awesome on this film. The score was it Hans Zimmer again? Because he's just a master in all of these. I think it must have been Hans Zimmer. He usually works with Noah, but I love the score. I love the music. Just really actually made the movie for me because the melody in the background, you know, it just literally took you on like a wave up and down of where the story was going. I thought the score was outstanding.
I'm with you. Well, that was just my opinion. You know, I wanted to put it out there.
No, it's fine.
I didn't really care for it. I don't know what the Academy is going to think. Like you said, they're going to do a campaign for it. I honestly don't think it should get anything beyond technical acknowledgement, but that's just my personal opinion.
It makes sense. I think Paramount is the studio for
For
Interstellar. And it'd be smart if they just campaigned for the technical aspect of that. And I think they're the studio for Selma, and they could just, you know, focus on the acting, the writing, the directing, and Best Picture element
right.
of that.
I mean, if you're going to – we're getting into Oscar talk here. If you're going to nominate 10 films, there's no doubt this film has to be nominated out of the 10. Because a lot of these films, it seems like this year, they have a similar – kind of genre to them, and they're very similar. You know, the difference between Selma and you know, the one with Stephen Hawking, that film, they're all kind of like biographies, autobiographies about their lives. And you know, you just need a different movie, and this is vastly different than whatever's out there that's being nominated this year. It's just completely different, and I think you need that.
That's true.
And it's a big budget blockbuster. You at least need always one, I guess, to be nominated.
Yeah.
And I think this is the one.
Yep, I'm with you on that. And I'm really looking forward to us doing our own awards to compete with the Academy Awards and really put, you know, our real opinions out there, because those guys, I don't agree with their choices, honestly.
It's been up and down, hasn't it been, Kenny, so far with the runners, you know, for top picture or not? It's been really shaken up and down from what I've been at least following.
Well, the issue is that Boyhood was always pretty much the front runner, but no one wanted to call it that because mm-hmm. that usually ends up not becoming the front runner. And it's a small film. It was, you know, Richard Linklater's baby that he's made for 12 years. And people kept predicting movies to be nominated for Best Picture and winning Best Picture before they even saw them. It was like this with Imitation Game. It was like this with Birdman. It was like this with actually Interstellar. And the biggest offender was Unbroken. Mm. People had predicted Unbroken to win Best Picture up until they saw it, I think, a week or two ago. And now they don't even think Angelina Jolie would be nominated for Best Director.
How films are crammed into the last month of the year,
right,
just to be at the forefront of people's memories for Best Picture and things like that. It's just ridiculous, and a lot of films that are better get overlooked. One film that I thought should be at least at some point in some way, I haven't decided on what category yet. But one of those things that I really liked was, and I don't even think it released this year. It may have released at the end of last year, was Lone Survivor.
It did. It came out New York and L.A. Christmas 2013.
And
it was nominated for a few Oscars, yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because this is why I hate it too. Is a movie like, I feel like if you're going to open in New York and LA at the end of the year, it's a movie that wouldn't really find an audience mm-hmm. per se. And then you have to kind of slowly roll it out in January.
Yep.
Lone Survivor and even also the upcoming American Sniper mm-hmm. are not going to be those kind of movies. Those movies are going to play very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, middle America and stuff, and you know, it's not like a really kind of weird movies. They're very mainstream accessible films.
They are.
So I don't understand why the Academy, I mean, while those studios had to really open them in a limited release,
well,
and then
you
roll
can
it
tell.
Out.
It's Oscar bait. It's really Oscar bait. They're
yeah.
putting it then.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those movies that aren't super expensive, so if it doesn't work out well, they didn't lose out too much. If it does work out well, it is going to do even better once it wins an award. I mean, Black Swan, I don't think it made any money until it won. And this is going to be the same thing. I really mm-hmm. hate it because, well, I really like it because I feel like December and January, you get a lot of quality cinema. You see some of the best films of the year, but I hate it because it makes other films that are also equally great get overlooked.
I agree.
I think really wanted Pacific Rim last year. I really did.
Oh, hell no. No way. I'm telling you.
I wanted technically, absolutely. I will, like, with the visual effects, the sound, it probably, I mean, obviously Gravity won, but I thought that I was watching the, like an Oscar winning film.
Like the end of the world. It was like insane, especially if you saw it on IMAX. You don't have to see it in 3D, but if you saw it with the proper scale and the proper sound, I don't think you can even properly enjoy that film if you watch it at home. I used to tell my friends, listen, if you haven't seen it in theaters, just forget it. You missed it. You're supposed to see it in theaters. Otherwise, the experience isn't the same. It's not.
Yeah, and it's about that, too. And, you know, when it comes to going back to the films about talking about momentum and not, like, I think one movie that's losing momentum for sure that probably won't be even nominated that should is Gone Girl. I thought that's one movie that it should be a shoo-in. But with all these other releases coming out so late, people have forgotten about Gone Girl already.
David Fincher
can't
win.
It was so just controversial as well. It's been an issue. My favorite Oscar blogger, Sasha Stone at Awards Daily, she just champions that film, and she agrees exactly with you,
right?
As well, and it's just a really funny thing. I know that. I mean, for my top 10 list, Anthony, mm-hmm. I think you'll be pretty proud on this aspect. I'm picking movies that have really stuck with me. So I saw Grand Budapest Hotel in March when it opened. That's on my top 10 list. Under the Skin, I saw it in April. That's probably on my top 10 list as well. Blue Ruin came out in May. That's on my top 10 list. Boyhood opened in July, mm-hmm. and then Calvary in August. Those mm-hmm. are my – so that's five movies right there,
Nightcrawler
on my top 10 list.
I thought Nightcrawler was really, really underrated.
Nightcrawler is creepy.
Oh, I agree.
Nightcrawler was a creepy ass movie.
It was a great film noir.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
I think with Nightcrawler, I finally saw it last week, mm-hmm. and I think that it's going to be one of those movies that it may not get Oscar attention now, but I think through the years it's going to age very well. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I was how kind of Fight Club and Big Lebowski were kind of maybe like overlooked, but they became kind of cult hits. I don't think it's going to be on that level per se, but that happens.
Like, I think it'll happen.
And that kind of, and that kind of makes me kind of want to look at films differently as well. Like, 'cause as much as I did like The Theory of Everything, mm-hmm. it's pretty good, but it's not one of the best movies. It's not going to be really
memorable
in my eyes. So to me, I want to focus on like what will last. Like, and I think it would be something like Nightcrawler, Blue Ruin, potentially Inherent Vice.
Mm-hmm. That's another one that should be high up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kenny, I wanted to ask you about something.
What?
You wrote about the film already, and I read the review, but I just want to hear it from you verbally. Tell me your thoughts on Top 5, that Chris Rock movie that came out.
I really liked it. It was very, very funny. And it was just the chemistry between Chris Rock and Jose Rayo Dawson
was just Dawson. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, it was great. I normally don't like her in films. It's kind of been something to kind of warm up to. I think it was really since like and Clerks and stuff, like I wasn't a fan of. But I just thought it was really kind of refreshing take on just a lot of kind of issues with kind of pop culture and being authentic and trying to find intimacy as well. And the script was pretty good. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I mentioned it in my review or not, but a few studios actually, after it premiered in Toronto, were in a hitting war. And I think that the studio paid $12 million for it, and then they decided to release it for during Christmas for Oscar season. So the fact that a film played at Toronto in September, and then all these studios fight over it, and then they decide to open it right before Christmas for Oscar season, I think that says something about a film, because usually they would wait till spring, and I kind of wish this movie kind of came out maybe like in spring or maybe Valentine's Day, you know, but at the same time, like, I mean, the studios had a lot of confidence, and I think it said something.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. You guys are giving me a lot of stuff to think about for our awards. I'm going to make it official. I think we should name it the Motys. MOTY, Movie of the Year.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's funny.
And let's run with that. I think I might even get some graphics made up. I'm looking forward to that. I think, you know, with what, if we can actually reflect what people really think are the best films, I think we'll do better, or at least get a much more appreciation of what the Academy receives, because saying this, and I will always say this, I can't agree with what they choose.
No, I mean, because most people won't see these films that are out now or are going to be, you know, nominated. They're going to have to wait to months after the award season for it to hit on DVD.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's going to be a few that are going to be released right in time, which ones, some that might be somewhat mainstream. But we're talking about movies that don't do big box office, you know, and you need movies that people have actually seen, you know, and a lot of them aren't. Probably Interstellar and Gone Girl are one of those movies. And Grand Budapest Hotel, probably another one that people have actually seen and made an effort to go see. And, you know, you ask a common person who watches movies, goes to their movies, they've probably seen those of, you know, compared to Boyhood or even some of these other ones that aren't accessible.
I can remember I didn't see Nebraska until well after the Academy Awards.
That studio, that was my number one movie of last year, and they did not open it wide at all. I mean, like, I think it played maybe 200 or 300 theater screens.
Mm-hmm.
But my family, I mean, small town people, you know, I mean, they absolutely loved it. It was out of all the movies we watched last Christmas, it was hands down everyone's favorite film. Mm-hmm. It should have played a lot wider. It was definitely a lot more accessible than I think the studio would give it credit for. And there's that kind of thing too, is that there isn't really confidence in these kind of studios that want to release these movies. And I can't blame them,
right?
Because things have to either be kind of like branded, or they have to be kind of like based on something. Like, you know how we were talking about like Spider-Man stuff. Of course, that's gonna be bigger because people know more about that. But there are just some films that I think people would, if they saw it, they would absolutely love it. Well, and I have to say that the one for 2014 would be Whiplash, hands mm-hmm. down. That movie would play so well. Even though I thought Boyhood was better, I think Whiplash is a lot more accessible to more people, and it should be playing in more theaters.
I'll admit, I'm often exposed and introduced to a lot of films based off of your writing. You know, there's a lot of films that even go below my radar, and I get a lot of things that come in my inbox.
Yeah.
So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I get introduced to a lot of really great films based off of what you're producing. So, which is why I follow our Facebook page, because that's where a lot of your content is. Which is why I look forward to your reviews, because you're usually spot on with my opinion of a lot of these films. Again, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to your thoughts. I'm really looking forward to Ryan's thoughts. Maybe Paula. Maybe we can get Paula to participate. and maybe we could put together something really cool. But
yeah,
I think that's about it for me this week. Did you guys have anything else you guys wanted to touch on?
Well, just, I guess, keep on monitoring what happens with this Sony thing. It's, the ball's still rolling. It's not over by any means.
No. Tomorrow's another day, and we're going to find out
and
tomorrow.
Remember, we have a big Christmas surprise, apparently, that's supposed to be released by him. So, I guess, right around Christmas next week, we might be getting a big bombshell being dropped.
Yeah, I feel like I
don't know. I mean, leave the city. But, I mean... The whole thing, though, they were going to drop that if the movie would be released, so I don't know if that's going to happen now. I mean, if that makes sense, but, I mean, who knows? Just things.
And has the movie been canned completely from what we know right now? It's not going to play no matter what? There's no, you know,
theaters
date
refuse
adjustment.
To play it, and Sony's afraid that people are going to get hurt based off of their idiocy. Right.
So they're liable. So it's scrapped completely from every theater, and there's no
it's tabled for now.
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. If somebody got injured because of their negligence, I mean, there's some lawyer out there waiting to put up that class action suit.
And it wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be Sony as much as it would be the
theater's
fault. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a security issue.
Right.
And stuff. And I was even talking to someone today about it. She's a mom with a few kids, and she always takes her kids to see a movie on Christmas. And she was worried with the Interview playing a few auditoriums down if something were to happen while she was seeing something else. So I really think that the other studios, like we're talking like Warner Brothers for The Hobbit, for Unbroken.
They probably started.
And Into the Woods.
Yep. Anybody else who's putting out movies probably doesn't want that movie in the same theater as them.
Exactly. I guarantee you that there was some behind the scenes thing of other studio pressure as well.
Well, maybe they'll let us get that exposed too. Maybe we'll get that email. Find out what happened.
Yeah. Who knows with that?
All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we had a very productive show this week. We got Kenny to participate.
Yeah,
Jim is showing his comic book knowledge. Oh, man.
Yay.
Kenny, are you going to join us next week? We want more Kenny in our lives. I need that in my coffee.
I could definitely be available next week. It just kind of depends, kind of scheduling and stuff, I guess.
All right, well, let's email exchange about that. We don't have to put that in the show. Awesome. Let's email exchange about that, and let's see what we could do next week. I'm looking forward to next week. I'm looking forward to see how this week's releases fare. It's this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's today.
It's today. I hope that's where Ryan is.
Wednesday the 17th.
Okay. Well, I think we had a good show. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah.
For all you guys that are listening out there, thank you guys for listening to us again with us and joining us on the show, our favorite, Jim.
That's right. Make sure you guys check out our Facebook, Twitter, and definitely subscribe to us on iTunes to our blog. I mean, not to our blog, to our movie blog podcast. That's what we need. We need more subscribers, so... Guys.
And Google Plus. We have Google Plus, guys.
We do.
Yeah, we do. We have some followers there. It's good. But yeah. And also, we have the lovable Kenny joining us this week. Thank you again, man.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Until next week, this is the Correct Opinion, the official podcast of the Movie Blog. Yes!
Got it.
Got it.
Woo! Yeah.